Now that all of the people have been gathered at the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, the work begins on building the same mindset among them. The new center houses ODNI employees, detailees from 15 agencies, and contractors. What are they doing? Well, for some answers, we turn to Bill Evanina, the National Counterintelligence Executive and the Director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center. He tells me how the center is working to prevent bad actors from getting security clearances and making sure cleared people don't stay cleared if they no longer qualify.
Subsequent to the efforts of Snowden and Aaron Alexis and AVR trying to identify individuals who are currently no longer in need to have clearances and those who want to get them renewed. So it's obviously an issue for us to get people cleared as quick as we can, getting them in the federal government. But once they're in, we need to make sure that we're efficient at reinvestigating everybody every 5 years as best we can. And in order to do that, we're trying to take a first initial look at who out there is cleared and do they currently still need the clearances.
What kinds of processes are you setting up to make sure that you get to the people in a frequent manner to make sure that they should stay cleared?
That's a great question, Tom. So basically, the basic clearance threshold starts with a core set of databases that get evaluated both internal to the government and external to government every 5 years when you get cleared. So what we're doing is we're speeding that process up, but we're going to have those core databases looked at continuously so that if something happens to an employee today or tomorrow, whether it be a filing a bankruptcy, a criminal situation, or maybe something a little bit more serious or less serious, that gets reported back to their host agency quickly, immediately, not waiting for 5 years. So when we're talking about continuous evaluation, what we're talking about is literally that, those databases being a hit continuously for federal clearance holders to identify areas of concern and sent back to their home agencies for potential adjudication. All we're really doing here is speeding up the process, looking for efficiencies of cost, and trying to make a more efficient way to garner reinvestigation process.
So it sounds almost like a big data type of issue in a database join, such that if, say, someone who has clearance has a criminal activity or a bankruptcy in another database somewhere else, that would get automatically fed into the home agency as a flag.
That's correct. And that normally that same database would not be 5-year reinvestigation came up. So what we're trying to do is facilitate those flags come up on a much earlier basis so we can identify potential problems.
So that sounds like a big software engineering job you have to do.
It is. And we're looking at some avenues to do that right now. We have a robust engineering team put together to identify how we're going to build this program. A lot of federal agencies currently have this already working. We're trying to facilitate it for the entire federal government and provide efficiency of scale. And what that does is allows us to build a system that works for us and which is scalable and usable and efficient in terms of getting the data back to the host agencies so they can most importantly prioritize whose investigations are going to come first.
Now, would this apply to ODNI employees and also DOD or
yes,
the
entire intelligence community, DOD, and then eventually the entire federal government, once again, to include all clearance holders.
We're speaking with Bill Evanina. He is the National Counterintelligence Executive and Director of the new National Counterintelligence and Security Center. And it's hard to talk about clearance without talking about the insider threat, which is really the handmaiden of security clearance. And given some of the incidents that have happened, both in terms of violence and in terms of intellectual theft, what's the next step to insider threat?
Well, Tom, as you mentioned, the insider threat is the umbrella for which we drive all of these efforts to include continuous evaluation. The insider threat program, which we co-chair with Department of Justice, is a vehicle for which we institute standards through all government agencies to put together robust insider threat programs to include DOD and non-NT50 organizations. And what that insider threat task force does is provide a senior official to be accountable, responsible for that, particularly that get put in place to effectuate how they're going to handle their insider threat. And what that insider threat program does is protect people, places, information, and systems from individuals who, for themselves or others. And as I've seen, Mr. Snowden or Aaron Lechuation, sometimes people wake up in the morning and they're seeking to do harm. And what we're trying to do is identify those people ahead of time so we can maybe help them, provide them assistance to get them off that path.
And as this goes on, are you developing better profiles for people that might be considered insider threats before they become those?
Absolutely. We're looking at avenues to identify both not only from an IT perspective, a data usage perspective, psychological situations, algorithms, involvement with the human resource departments, employee assistance programs. We're looking at all venues that are accessible for us to be able to provide that not only deterrence, but assistance to federal employees.
Because you hear, you know, some of the profiles or activities that people might do that are insider threats, and you hear the same example over and over again, like if they downloaded files at 2 a.m. And so clearly someone who's smart enough to know that's what's going to be looked at is not going to download files at 2 a.m. So it's a moving target that you've got to keep up with.
It is, but it's broader than that, and I think that's a great example you provide, Tom, but that same individual who's downloading files at 2 a.m. probably isn't usually downloading those files to begin with. So whether it's at 2 a.m. or 8 a.m. or noon, the statistically looking at that individual downloading files is probably anomalous behavior, so that will be flagged pretty quickly.
All right, so let's get to the bigger picture again of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center itself. It looks like this is an evolution of an integration that's been happening ever since Mr. Clapper took over, Admiral Clapper, back in 2010.
That's correct. And if you look at it from that perspective, we have become the third center for which he owns, which includes NCTC and NCPC. So the third center, what we're really doing is rounding out his portfolio, having three centers. Now, NCX, ONCX was the third entity, but obviously our title was derived for and put forth by legislation. So this naming it also rounds out his structure as the DNI and fits us in perfectly. And once again, by conjoining CI and security in the mission sets that we're involved with, really provides us the optic to ensure that that collaboration is done in the intelligence community.
All right, so you have the look at the insider threat situation, and you have the clearance reform. What are the other missions that come under this umbrella?
Another big mission is damage assessments. So we are the point of the spear for damage assessments that are done in the federal government for all damages, to include espionage cases, leaks like Snowden, the Fort Hood, Navy Yard shooting. Every time there's a really, really bad scenario that happens within the CI security realm, my office is chartered with providing a robust damage assessment. So what is the damage caused by or the impact of the unauthorized disclosure or the action that occurred, and how do we mitigate those going forward and then, most importantly, prevent them in the future?
But I guess it's also fair to say this is not all in reaction to those recent events, because this has been something in the books since 2010.
That's correct. That's correct. And as we move forward in identifying the situations, and as we put forward our damage assessments historically, whether it be on WikiLeaks or Mr. Delisle or Mr. Snowden or Fort Hood or, you know, the Navy Yard, those things, what they do is they advise us moving forward for what are the threats over the horizon? What can we kind of be predictive in nature and try and help out in the future to avoid a scenario? And sometimes we talk about the importance of security and counterintelligence, but we always say that, you know, the most important part of a good counterintelligence program starts with a solid security program.
And so what are the metrics for success for the National Counterintelligence and Security Center?
The most important metric we have is enhanced and super successful collaboration within the intelligence community and the NT50 organizations. As a collaborative networker that we are and a catalyst for networking, we are moving forward in trying to facilitate enhanced working together across the community, whether it be on clearance reform, the task force, damage assessments, cyber operations, working with DOD, the intelligence community, and once again, we're really pushing hard now to deal with non-intelligence community agencies and trying to integrate security and counterintelligence. The better we can do that and see policies and standards promulgated, that's a measure of success for us.